The Volume.
This is Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre.
What is up, Straight Fire fam? It's me, Jason McIntyre, Straight Fire, for Monday, January 29th. Oh boy, did we have a hell of a championship Sunday. The NFL Super Bowl is set after the Ravens totally choked at home. Lamar Jackson, we'll get to him. Oh my gosh, poor Lamar. At this point, you feel bad for the guy. Oh boy, they lose. The Chiefs win. Yes, I was way wrong. A brutally bad call. Kansas City is the better side. There's no doubt about it. Chiefs advance to the Super Bowl. And then in the nightcap, which was actually the better game, and I'm going to lead with it because, well, not only was I right, but the drama unfolding. 49ers rally from down 24-7 on the arm of Brock Purdy. The Brock Purdy legend grows. The Niners score 27 straight points. And it just, I mean, there is so many amazing angles to take in this game. And the 49ers advance barely to the Super Bowl. They're going back. It feels like Jimmy Garoppolo versus Patrick Mahomes all over again, except playing the role of Jimmy G. Is, yes, Brock Purdy, who delivered big time in the second half in what was just a phenomenal game. I actually, one of the guys on the Gray Foxes decided to have like a, you know, like a gathering. He's a big Lions fan. He's, from Michigan. And he's on a high from the Michigan Wolverines winning the title. And he was all geeked for the Lions. You know, he has the Foxes over. It was a big, everybody's watching. And universally, it's very obvious. Dan Campbell, what are you doing? How are you on 4th and 2, up 14 in the third quarter, not kicking to make it a 3-score game? And it's funny, Lions fans call him Dan Gamble because he's such a risk taker. He goes for it on 4th down more than anybody. He's super aggressive. And what got him here, his aggressiveness, kind of sort of killed him against the Niners. At the end of the first half, you're up 21-7. You have a chance on 4th down. It's like 4th and goal from like the 3. Do you go for it and really put them behind the 8 ball at 28-7? Or do you just, hey, let's take the points, go up 24-7? So they take the points there, go up 24-7. So now, fast forward, it's 24-10 in the third. And Dan Campbell, instead of taking the points, I mean, it wasn't as much of a gimme of a field goal, but I think it would have been about a 40-something yarder. And Dan Campbell decides, you know what? I'm not gonna kick. I'm gonna go for it. And Goff has kind of moved off his spot. Throw's not perfect. He does hit the hands of Josh Reynolds and it falls incomplete. And it's like, oh my gosh, well, why didn't you just take points to go up 17? You know, and that's the kind of thing, like all season long, Dan Campbell, gambler, risk taker, go back to that game, the Cowboys game, when they had the 2-point conversion that was nails, and then they were like, penalty, pushed him back. They had a third chance, could have just kicked, could have gone to overtime. No, we're going for it. And what really hurt there was it began a snowball effect. Folks, it is, I wasn't in the stadium, so I don't know, but I can only imagine when they failed on 4th down, it was like a few plays later, Brock Purdy uncorks this bomb to Ayuk. It goes off the hands and then the face mask of a defensive back. And Ayuk makes a circus catch. And it was one of those, oh my gosh, did that really just happen? I'm in the car with my kids showing them the catch. And my daughter's like, oh my gosh, is that real? Did he catch it? Like, I've never seen a catch like that. And it kind of sparked them. It woke them up. Next 3rd down, Purdy touchdown pass. It's like, boom, game on, 24-17. And you could feel the momentum had turned. And of course, you know what happens next. As it normally happens, 1st and 10, Jahmyr gives up the middle, fumble. Niners recover. And at that point, it's snowballing, and you can't turn back time. You can't take back the field goal. And, you know, Brock Purdy makes another great scramble, 21 yards, and then C-Mac, and it's a tie game. And literally, you know, people are going to this guy's house, and they were like, oh my gosh, I got in the car, it was 24-10. What happened? And that's how quick the tables turned. And again, someone had posted this stat. I forgot who it is. Teams leading by 17 or more at halftime of the conference championship game were 21-0. Well, they're now 21-1 after the Niners came back from down 17 at home. And if you're a Lions fan, listen, this is a tough one to stomach. It's brutal. I don't know how you, I mean, the worst part is you're losing Ben Johnson. Obviously, Ben Johnson was in his bag, was incredible in the first half. The 49ers could not stop Detroit. They went four plays, 75 yards, touchdown. 11, 62, touchdown. They did have a punt, then 4, 46, touchdown, and then the 17-play drive resulting in a field goal. So 4 out of 5 possessions against an elite top 5 defense, and they score 4 times. Second half, they should have scored on the downs, then the fumble, punt, downs, and it was a tough, tough ending for Detroit. I don't know, man. I feel bad for Lions fans. At the same time, when the Niners were down 14-0, I said, you know what? Ravens killed me. I don't want to bankrupt myself. Let me just go heavy on Niners pick 'em. All they had to do was win at that point. And, of course, they come out and win, and I'm able to eke out a tiny profit, but barely. Props were hit and miss. But the Ravens, like, listen, I don't know. Before we get to the Ravens, I'll say my part about Brock Purdy, and I'm sure Rob has some big thoughts on Brock Purdy, because I wasn't on social media a ton during the game Sunday. I had to coach my son's basketball game. Took an L. We did not have our best player. Ref screwed up the game. I'm not ref guy, but trust me, if you're like both coaches agreed, like the refs just screwed from the jump. You know, we got a technical on our team, and then we got like a flagrant foul that they ended up. The other ref was like, "Come on, you can't call a flagrant. It's like a 4-point game. You can't call a flagrant. What are you doing?" Anyways, as the commissioner, I vow, I will say I refuse to have those refs again in seventh grade. They were up for it. Anyways, my daughter then has her game. And of course, the ref, you know, the scorekeepers are high school kids and they're all watching the game. So I'm paying attention to the games, but I'm not super locked in. And I wasn't on social media seeing what they were saying about Brock Purdy. But all I know is the greatest halftime comeback in conference championship game history was orchestrated by Brock Purdy. 48 yards rushing, 267 passing. By the way, he just missed his passing total, 277 yards. I did bet that, did not hit. It was nice to have Debo Samuel back. I did not see George Kittle getting 3 targets and 2 catches. That was not on my bingo card. Big whiff there. But Purdy orchestrated the comeback. He was, I don't want to say uneven on third down, but 6 for 12. Like, got the job done. Got to the red zone 5 times, not often in the first half. And yes, he had an interception, but it was pretty clear on replays that his hand and the ball were hit on the release. Listen, 7.8 yards per attempt. Like, Brock Purdy, to me, got this team to victory. Now, if you want to say something stupid and be like, oh, well, with Josh Allen, this team would be incredible. Yeah, Josh Allen on many teams would be incredible, but you wouldn't have that around you because you got to pay Josh Allen. Brock Purdy is a second-year quarterback, Mr. Irrelevant, who in his first year got to the conference championship, got injured on, I think, the first series. And now in his second year, he's going to the Super Bowl. It can't all be Shanahan and the defense, which was terrible. And it can't all be the skill position guys. Brock Purdy delivered.
Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. And right now, all users get $100 off when they buy a big game ticket with code VEGAS100. Let me tell you, if I was in Vegas for the big game and I had an extra $100 in my pocket, I'd probably try to double it up at the blackjack table. And then I'd use all that money to buy myself a nice steak dinner. But that's just me. With killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat, and their best price guarantee, Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying tickets. I was on the Game Time app this morning, and I saw my guy, the chef, is coming to town in March. And you know I got to be in the building for that one. Game Time is the only ticketing app that gives you your complete peace of mind with your purchase. You can see the view from your seat before you buy, so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. All-in prices show your total up front, so you know you're getting a great deal before you check out. And once you find the tickets you want, you can buy them in seconds with just 2 taps. Best part of it all? The Game Time guarantee means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Right now, all Game Time users get $100 off a big game ticket with code VEGAS100. Terms apply. Just download the Game Time app and use code VEGAS100 for $100 off a big game ticket. Or if you're not going to the game, use code JMAC for $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
And Rob, I know obviously you're a little more attuned to what the internet streets are saying. Are they putting respect on my man Brock Purdy's name? I had to let him know after that scramble. I did pick up my phone and say, can someone ask Cam Newton if that was a game-managing scramble or a game-changing scramble from Brock Purdy on third down? I've lost track of what's a game manager and a game changer. But
you're savage.
Are they with me or no?
No, they're not. You would think after that kind of performance that he had last night in that situation against that opponent, that people would now finally start to concede that, you know what, Brock Purdy might not be Patrick Mahomes. We'll get to him a little bit later. He might not even be Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson or Joe Burrow, whatever. Whoever you think your top guys are, he might not be that. But you got to concede that he's at least a very, very good quarterback. And no, that's not the case at all. It seems like the exact same thing that happened last week when he played poorly for 2.5 quarters and then came alive there in the fourth, that people who didn't like Brock Purdy were like, see, he sucks. Look what happened early. He had 2 dropped interceptions. It was one of the worst performances I've ever seen. And the people who liked him were like, look, after having a bad game in the rain without his number one receiver, he does exactly what he needs to do to get the win. And the same exact thing happened last night. I was all over social media. And if you like Brock Purdy, you point out, hey, second half, 13-16, 174, a touchdown, and 49 rushing yards. More importantly, this is my favorite stat, he scrambled 7 times officially in the NFC Championship game, okay? Of those 7 scrambles, he carried the ball 3 times for 52 yards, 3 first downs. He threw the ball 4 times, completing 3 of them for 41 yards and 3 first downs. So on 7 scrambles, he turned 6 of them into first downs. Ooh. Okay, that is playmaking, whether it's him running it himself or throwing, finding a guy down the field. So if you like Brock Purdy, you point out those kind of things. Everything he did, he was magical in the second half, undeniably. If you don't like Brock Purdy, you're bringing up the near interception that bounced off of a defender's face mask and into Ayuk's hand for 50 yards. You're bringing up that he was only 7-of-15 for 93 yards and a pick in the first half. And it's amazing to me that people can be dug in like this on either side. It's almost like Brock Purdy has become politics in this country, where it's like, yeah, it doesn't matter what the other side is doing or saying. You are so dug into how you feel that you refuse to admit or to concede anything in this regard. And I just don't get it.
Yeah, it's weird because Mahomes will admit this was not his best regular season. I mean, MVS drops passes every week, and then he'll get to the playoffs and he's not dropping anything. And Mahomes' numbers were the lowest of his career. He did not have a good year. He was not in the MVP discussion, couldn't sniff it. And they get to the playoffs, and he is, I mean, we'll just throw the Miami game out the window. It was in negative 30 degrees. Goes to Buffalo, near flawless game for Mahomes, gets the win. Goes to Baltimore, near flawless game versus an elite defense, gets the win. You got to give it to him. I was telling Rob, like, Mahomes is at the level of where if Tom Brady's playing in a playoff game, like, don't bet against him. Just don't. It's stupid. You're going to lose money. It's Patrick Mahomes. He's got Andy Reid. Travis Kelce's still breathing. Like, what am I doing taking the Ravens? I don't care if they're favored by 4 or whatever. Like, you got to bet Mahomes. And that's the level Brady was at for the longest time, where it was just, oh, playoffs, January, February. Oh, Tom delivers. Clutch. Now, Mahomes is obviously more talented than Tom Brady. Mahomes, you know, probably will end up as the greatest quarterback of all time. I mean, he's certainly on that track. You can't deny the stats and what he's done in the first, 5-6 years of his career. But, like, it's at the point where, yeah, I can recognize both things are true. Mahomes had a down year. He was not excellent. But the playoffs are different, and Mahomes is a different animal in the postseason. Period. Hard stop. I can also recognize Brock Purdy was bad for 3 quarters, like you said, against the Packers, and then nails on the final drive. He had a not great first half. I don't think he was terrible. He just wasn't great in the first half against the Lions. And in the second half, he made every play that he had to and was excellent. And it was like, why can't other people see that? Now, when we get to Lamar Jackson here in a moment, I think you know, people are maybe giving being a little too kind to him for how bad he is. I've got an analogy. You're going to hate it, but I don't know. I guess my final thoughts on the Niners. This defense, you could not watch Gibbs and Montgomery just gash them left and right without thinking, oh my gosh, forget this defense. You've got to build up. They just got to reallocate funds because these guys are not good. The defense run could not stop the run. I haven't thought too much about the Super Bowl yet, but they couldn't stop anything. And in the second half, Denver still moved. They just a couple bad decisions here and there. And then the second thing is if you're a Washington Commanders fan, you need to lock up Ben Johnson as your next head coach, like tomorrow. I know Seattle's trying to get in the mix and maybe Ben's looking for some leverage, but I mean, the game he called against the Rams and Raheem Morris, who just got a job, it was like touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. Hello, how are you? That's how you started the game. And then last week against Tampa, unstoppable. It's okay. It's Tampa. Come on. And now here you go against the Niners, and it's like bing, bang, boom, scoring on four or five drives to start the game. Ben Johnson, Rob, I don't know if that's the best head coaching hire because Jim Harbaugh, obviously, but you've got to be extremely excited if you're a Washington fan, no?
Absolutely. And you know what's funny is there was a point in that game, maybe middle of the second quarter, when I'm watching it and I'm saying, why are you calling flea flickers? Why are you bothering to throw the football? You are destroying these guys on the ground. It was like at 7.2 yards per carry at that point. And I'm like, you're getting too cute. You're Kyle Shanahan-ing yourself right now. Like, what are you doing, Ben Johnson? And credit to him. He's like, you know what? You're right. I'm going to start running the ball again. And next, you know, they're up, you know, 17 plus at halftime or at going into half. And credit to him for acknowledging and having the self-awareness to be like, you know what? I don't need to show off how deep my bag is right now. I don't need to go out of my way to highlight Amon-Ra St. Brown or Sam Laporta or whatever. Montgomery and Gibbs right now are destroying these guys. So I'm just going to keep doing it. And then even in the second half, to your point, I don't think it had anything to do with his play calling. I think his play calling was fine. It's not his fault that you had some key drops there by Reynolds. Two of them actually that, you know, really killed drives. One of them being on fourth down. It's not his fault that Jahmyr Gibbs fumbled. I thought that Ben Johnson called a hell of a game. And if Washington gets him, they're going to be very, very happy.
Yeah, big time. And it's a tough one. I feel bad for Reynolds. He, of course, ended up getting married to a girl I work with at Fox. They've been dating back since Texas A&M. And, like, I still talk to her. She's, you know, they live in Detroit. And I kind of root for Reynolds because yeah, obviously, I know her, super nice girl. And you feel bad. He did have the two drops, which hurt. Obviously, you can't put it on him. I just think Dan Campbell, like, listen, man, you can go up 17 on the road, third quarter. Don't be greedy, man. Just kick the field goal. Now on to Ravens-Chiefs. And this is going to be a little tougher of a game for me to talk about because, A, I was so, so wrong. And I think we've talked about this before. You can tell right away in some of these games, holy S, I'm on the wrong side. Baltimore gets the ball. I think Kansas City won the toss and said, we want our defense on the field first. That's how much confidence Spagnuolo had in his group. Ravens go bing, bang, boom, three and out, punt. And you're like, okay, that's not great. At home, you figure you got Munkin's going to have his great game plan. You're all juiced up. Nothing. Okay. Mahomes gets the ball. You're like, okay, this elite Ravens defense, best unit in the league. Awesome linebackers. Kyle Hamilton hasn't given up a touchdown to a tight end all season. Ravens get, I believe, four chunk plays on the first drive. I'm sorry, four plays, double-digit yards, like 10-plus. And including a key couple third downs. And then Mahomes to Kelce attacking Kyle Hamilton, who hasn't given up a touchdown to a tight end all season. 7-0 Chiefs. And I instantly knew it in my gut. I'm on the wrong side. And then I know, Ravens end up getting back into it and they tie the game. Lamar makes a freaky play. But you could just see the sequence of play calling from Baltimore was horrendous. I don't know what, if they overthought the game, if they were shook from the early three and out and the Chiefs scoring. But, for once, one of my bets was Gus Edwards anytime touchdown. I'm like, oh, it's Gus the bus. Come on, of course, he's going to have a big game. Chiefs defensive run against the run is not awesome. Gus Edwards had three carries. Justice Hill had three carries. Zay Flowers had two. Lamar Jackson, eight. Like, What on earth game plan is that? Hey, we've got one of the best running games in the league against a team where we should probably play keep away from Patrick Mahomes. And they don't run the football. I did not understand that game plan. Isaiah Likely, emerging as a real talent the last month with Mark Andrews out. He had 3 targets. Mark Andrews had 2 targets. It felt to me like Lamar Jackson, who I'll get to in a sec, I don't know if he didn't like the game plan or the Chiefs just totally rattled him with their movement and mixing up coverages. But Lamar, it looked like Patrick Mahomes got to the line of scrimmage and knew what was coming. 30 of 39, 241. I mean, Chiefs, they played an awesome game. Not in the second half, like moving the ball efficiently, just did exactly what they had to do. Lamar Jackson, 3 of 11 on third down. It seemed like he was bracketed by the ends. They weren't trying to get to him. They were just trying to cut off the running lanes. And Lamar didn't have the running lanes, didn't have open receivers other than Zay Flowers. And then with the game not totally on the line, but he throws one of the most juvenile interceptions into triple coverage in the middle of the field in the end zone. That was just like, throw your hands up. What on earth are you doing? And it's been a knock on Lamar that playoff Lamar has not been great. Okay, playoff Lamar was good in the second half against the Texans. They had the bye week, obviously. And you start thinking about really talented quarterbacks who just are awesome regular season guys and then don't deliver. And then you start going to other sports. And you guys know we talk NBA on here a lot. And Lamar Jackson in the postseason has been, he's left something to be desired. How about that? He's going to have 2 MVP awards and he's now going to be 2-4 in the playoffs. And I know it's early. Jason, Peyton struggled early. Peyton's a totally different quarterback, but yes, Peyton did struggle early. Well, you know who's a dominant regular season player, just utterly dominant, and then also has a history of falling apart in the playoffs? This guy by the name of James Harden. And I know that might sound harsh and overly critical because James Harden is aloof and is Mr. Strip Clubs and is hanging out with Lil Baby and has demanded trades from a billion teams. So many I've forgotten at this point. I just watched Lamar in the postseason and he's not remotely the same guy he is in the regular season. He just isn't. He puts up the big stats in a playoff game against the Titans, and they lose because of turnovers. He no-shows against the Chiefs. Well, I don't know. The game plan was terrible. He no-shows against the Chargers in his first playoff game. Well, it was his first playoff game. He's only been a starter for half a season. Like, it's weird, man. We make excuses for guys we like or want to like, and then other guys, we just crucify them. And I don't see how you can come out of this Ravens-Chiefs game saying, my gosh, how did the offense not deliver at all? And I'm sorry, but it's on the MVP. And Rob, I like Lamar Jackson. I backed him here. It's without question, he struggled, and he was not the best quarterback on the field. And what do you do when someone's so dominant in the regular season and has these playoff struggles? I don't know. I think the James Harden comparison is kind of apt.
Looking for a super offer for Super Bowl 58? DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. New customers can bet on the big game and turn $5 into $200 instantly in bonus bets. The line opened with San Francisco as a short favorite in the rematch from the 2020 Super Bowl. Very excited. If you listen to the pod, you know which way I'm leaning. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code STRAIGHTFIRE. New customers can bet $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of Super Bowl 58. With code STRAIGHTFIRE, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 8778-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/football for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
We were talking before we started recording, and we mentioned, you know, who was he reminding you of? And you mentioned the James Harden one. And yes, that does make sense because of his postseason failure. But I think, as you alluded to, given James Harden's overall unseriousness as it relates to focus, you know, yeah. He's, you know, he got to, couldn't show up to training camp because he had to go to a party for Lil Baby, you know, he had to give him $100,000 worth of cash at the strip club, and he's got to get his jersey retired there. So it's a big deal. His friend's making boss moves. So that was also important, not as important as going to, an event with his team. So I think that's the only reason I would push back on that. My guy who I thought of, and we talked about it quickly, was Joel Embiid. Because Joel Embiid, unlike James Harden, takes this really seriously. You know, this weekend notwithstanding where he ducked Nikola Jokic, and we'll talk about that another day. That was embarrassing for him. But, you know, he wants to win. He wants to do well. He wants to dominate on a night-to-night basis. Same thing as Lamar Jackson. However, for whatever reason, Joel Embiid's regular season game does not translate to the playoffs. The same thing happens to Lamar Jackson. Here's some numbers for you. In the regular season, Lamar Jackson wins at a 72% clip, 62 and 24. He's got 154 total touchdowns, 66 total turnovers with a passer rating of 98.0. He's a two-time MVP for a reason.
Yeah.
He's a first ballot lock for the Hall of Fame because he's that special in the regular season. In the postseason, he's 2-4, 33%. 9 total touchdowns, 9 total turnovers. A passer rating coming in to Sunday's game is going to be updated here later this morning of 75.7. So you got numbers going down. He might be like at 74, 73 by the time this podcast gets published. Lamar Jackson, all the things that make him great in the regular season, you mentioned it, against the good teams, they take those things away. And that's not anything unique to him. That's part of the game plan of being in the NFL or in the NBA, whatever sport that you like. They are going to take away the things you do best first. And it's up to you to counter and do something else to take advantage of whatever it is that they are giving you. And yesterday, the Kansas City Chiefs decided, like you mentioned, we are not going to attack Lamar Jackson and really rush the passer like that. We're going to try to corral him. And even when we blitz, we're going to come blitzing up the middle and not on the outside so that he has nowhere to step up into the pocket. And Lamar Jackson, all game, even as he kind of got hot there in the second half, was just a tick off on all his throws. Every deep shot he took, he looked like he was about a yard or two too far. He could have had multiple defensive pass interference calls if he had underthrown a pass and had these guys work back to it and get yards that way. But he was just a little bit off all the time. To your point, there wasn't a whole lot of designed runs. There wasn't even a whole lot of scrambling on his part in that game. So Lamar Jackson, even though we all love him, we all appreciate watching him, we recognize his greatness, the fact remains is that he, from now until proven otherwise, is a regular season quarterback. Point blank, period.
I don't think that's overboard to just say he's a regular season guy. Like, until he proves it in the postseason, I think it's fair to question him. And listen, you guys said you need to see Brock Purdy do it. He had the comeback last week, and he had another comeback this week. I don't know what more you need to see. Like, he's going to hoist the Lombardi. And I joked to Cowherd that this is how unfair the Brock Purdy stuff is. I said, it's like we're going to flip a coin. Heads I win, tails you lose. Right?
Right.
If Brock Purdy wins, well, you got Debo. It's Christian McCaffrey. They got Shanahan. You got Kittle. What a stacked deck. 49ers lose. Brock Purdy's so bad. He's the reason he can't do anything. Like, that's just dumb. Now, you look at Ravens and you want to say that, well, Lamar was terrible. Lamar's the MVP. He makes that team go. He is everything on that team. And if he's not making the throws, if there isn't separation, he's got to make plays with his legs. Because, you know, Monken, as good of a year he had, like, Lamar's got to be the guy. And he wasn't the guy. Purdy, yesterday, defense isn't getting stopped. This vaunted defense, the greatest linebacker group ever. They got Chase Young and Joey Bosa. Or is it Nick? No, I think it's Nick Bosa. Nick and Chase Young. They got Armstead in the middle. They got, I mean, an awesome defense. Couldn't stop anybody. If Purdy's not scrambling, hitting Kittle, hitting Ayuk, not the bomb. The bomb to Ayuk was pure luck. They're not coming back. So, I don't know, man. Listen, it's tough for me to absolutely crush anyone here in the Ravens game other than, like, the play calling. I just didn't think Lamar was great. Like, you know, Patrick Mahomes, great. Not amazing, not his best game ever, but he was great. Brock Purdy, great in the second half. And it sets up the Super Bowl. Rob, I'm looking at the line here. Looks like it is, and this surprises me, Niners minus one? My thought would be, everybody just watched the Chiefs go to Baltimore as a dog and win. It's Patrick Mahomes. It's Andy Reid. That's what they do. And then everybody watched the Niners get their butts kicked for a half and have to barely come back and beat the Lions at home and not cover the spread. My thought would be everybody's going to be on the Chiefs. I'm surprised they didn't open as favorites. This is Vegas respecting their season-long numbers and metrics, saying the 49ers are the better team. I don't know. I've got to look it up, Rob. Do you know offhand, have they faced since that Super Bowl?
No, they have not.
Okay. I don't know how, but we could throw that out the window. That Super Bowl, the Niners had them dead to rights, and then it was 3rd and 10. You can go look it up on YouTube. Mahomes uncorks like some kind of incredible Hail Mary pass, and it's Tyreek Hill for like 60 yards, totally changes the game. They storm back and win, and, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo, I don't think was great in the game. He had a couple misses, if memory serves, late first half. There was one that was a questionable flag, a PI, something in the first half. But ultimately,
he had a chance to win that game at the end, too. He overthrew a touchdown pass that would have won the game in the last minute. Was it Brandon Lloyd, I think, was the receiver at that point?
Wow, what a pull, Brandon Lloyd. It feels like so. You know what that Super Bowl that was? That was the Super Bowl right before COVID happened.
Yes.
Because Fox had the Super Bowl. It was in Miami. I remember being down there for the week, and you started to hear about this, I don't know what they were calling it at the time. I don't know if it was being called COVID at the time. So I was getting ready to get on a flight back, and a buddy who's a doctor recommended, hey, you should wear a mask on a flight so you don't get this sickness. And I was like, a mask? Okay, I'll just go to CVS. I go to CVS. No, we're out. This is like in Florida. And then I went to another one, and they were like, yeah, we're out. And I was like, wait, what's going on? They were like, try Home Depot. Get one of those N95 masks. I was like, what? Of course, they're sold out too. So I called my dad, who was like 45 minutes away. And I was like, hey, can you check out any areas around there to get a mask? He's like, oh, yeah, no problem. And they, of course, were masks in that town, part of Florida. So I got one and then went on the flight. Of course, I get on the flight. There's like nobody wearing a mask, maybe like 6-7 people. And Cowherd said, wait, you're wearing one? All right, I'll take one. Now, he was in first class, so I didn't see him. I was not in first class. But that was like right before COVID became a thing. And now we get still Mahomes, still Kelsey, still Reed, still Chris Jones. Early lean, Rob, or no?
Yeah, of course. I mean, before the season I started, I feel, you know, pat myself on the back. I'm wrong most days, but in this case, I'm right. I had Chiefs Niners before the season in the Super Bowl. And we were talking before recording, and I had to make a choice. And I'm like, well, I can't go back now. I can't bet against Patrick Mahomes. We just talked about it. Patrick Mahomes in the postseason, he's just juxtaposes this with Lamar Jackson and his struggles. Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs, 14-3 overall, 13-1 in regulation. 2-0 on the road, 3-0 as an underdog. He's also the all-time leader in yards per game, passer rating, completion percentage, and TD interception ratio. So, yeah, do not bet against Patrick Mahomes in a big game. So I'm going to stick with Patrick Mahomes. And another note for you, this is now the 4th Super Bowl rematch among head coaches all time. Andy Reid, Kyle Shanahan. The previous three, the coach that won the first one also won the second one. So I'm double dipping on Kansas City early in this one.
Okay, so this, I'll ask you, this is not that easy to answer. That Chiefs team, if memory serves, was awesome, right?
Yes.
They went to the Super Bowl back then, and they were awesome. That Niners team was pretty good, I seem to remember. I think, did they have a comeback in the NFC Championship game?
No, didn't they blow the doors off of Green Bay? I think they threw the ball like 8 times in that NFC Championship game, if I recall.
2019-2020 NFL playoffs. Okay.
I think it was that the Raheem Mostert
playoff Raheem run. Mostert, wow. Yes.
This current Chiefs team is basically the inverse of that previous team. If you're that 2019 team was all gas, no brakes. That offense was unreal. Tyreek Hill.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. So they were down 24-0 to Houston, remember? And then they win 51-31.
Yes.
And then I think they trailed Tennessee briefly and then put 35 on them. And then they trailed San Fran and crushed them. San Fran that year was the one. They smoked Kirk Cousins at home. And then you're right, 37-20 over the Packers. I would need to look a little bit more. My gut tells me that that Chiefs team was better than this Chiefs team, or maybe just different, right?
Yeah,
this
team, they're the inverse. That team was offense. This team is defense.
Defense. Okay.
Yeah.
That Niners team was. I don't know.
This current Niners team throws it much better than that Niners team.
Purdy better than Garoppolo. Right?
Yeah.
Huh.
And the weapons on the outside are better. Ayuk and Debo at this stage. With Kittle are much better receiving options than what they had back then.
Who do you think?
Not even counting McCaffrey. McCaffrey. Oh, back then it was probably the Chiefs. People love Mahomes even then.
I don't want to say it, Rob. I think I want to be on the Niners again.
All right.
I don't know. Now, listen, that's 7 games in a row. They have not covered the spread when favored at home. 7. Now this, of course, is in Vegas. I don't think there's any edge. I mean, the Niners have played games there more recently. No bets for me yet. None. I kind of want, but you're right. It's like, why would you bet against Mahomes? Now, the one, do you remember the one where it was like, you can't bet against Brady, and it was Nick Foles against Tom Brady, and everybody was like, well, come on, Nick Foles. And then, of course, what happened? You know, Nick Foles got the dub. Eli Manning, Tom Brady. Come on, how could you bet Eli Manning? Eli Manning beats Brady. Early lean to me is to San Francisco, but man, not by much. Spagnuolo. Hey, by the way, Spagnuolo, if we didn't shout him out enough, it was a hell of a defensive game plan. By the way, he has held Josh Allen under 200 yards and Lamar Jackson. I think Lamar ended up clearing 200 with some garbage time at the end, but I'm pretty sure he gave Josh Allen his worst game of the season. And then Lamar Jackson, one of his worst games of the season, back to back. So he steps down in class to face Brock Purdy now, according to everybody. Well, we shall see. But yeah, everything lines up to Mahomes. I'm probably going to be on the Niners. But anyways, we got 2 weeks now to break all of it down. We will be back tomorrow. Maybe we'll find some new angles. Maybe Ben Johnson will lock up the Commanders job. Talk to you then.